Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
The places we call home are meant to be safe havens, sanctuaries from the outside world. But what happens when the very walls meant to protect you harbor something else? In the quiet corners of a forgotten trailer park, a family sought to rebuild their lives, unaware that something unseen was already watching. It started with the little things. A knock at the door with no one there, a faint chill in the air, and objects appearing where they shouldn't be. At first, these incidents were easy to dismiss. But as time went on, the strange occurrences grew darker, leaving the family with questions they couldn't answer and fears they couldn't ignore. Was it all in their heads, a trick of the mind under the weight of life's stresses? Or was something far more sinister at play? Tonight, we explore their story, a tale of whispered voices, untraceable phone calls, and a photograph that refuses to be discarded. Let's get to the letter. They write, "When my parents divorced, my dad and I moved into a trailer park on the edge of town. It wasn't much, but it was all we could afford. I was 16 at the time, trying to adjust to a new life while finishing high school. At first, everything seemed normal. The trailer was small but functional. The neighbors were close, though we didn't see much of them. My dad worked long hours, so I was alone most evenings. That's when the strange things started happening. And the first time I was making dinner, I heard a knock at the door, three distinct taps. When I opened it, no one was there. I stepped outside thinking maybe a neighbor had dropped by and walked away, but the yard was empty. I brushed it off, figuring it was just the way sound carried between the tightly packed trailers. But that night, the knocking came again and again. Every hour, it seemed, I would hear those same three knocks. I stopped opening the door, but I couldn't stop listening. It wasn't loud enough to wake my dad, and I wasn't about to bother him with something so small. Still, it left me uneasy. Weeks passed, and the knocking stopped. Life settled into a routine, and I almost forgot about it. But after I graduated, the trailer began to feel different. Little things caught my attention, things I couldn't explain. When I showered, I would hear what sounded like heavy footsteps just outside the bathroom door. My dad was rarely home, and when I'd call out, no one answered. The second bathroom, the one we barely used, always smelled like sulfur, like rotten eggs. I tried cleaning it, scrubbing every surface, but the smell never went away. The back room where I slept was worse. It was cold, even in the middle of summer. I tried everything, extra blankets, a space heater, but the chill wouldn't leave. Eventually, I gave up and started sleeping on the couch in the living room. That's when the headlights started. Every night, I'd see them sweep across the room as if a car had pulled into the driveway. But when I looked outside, there was nothing there. The driveway was dark, and the road beyond was quiet. I told myself it was just my imagination, but deep down, I knew something was off. Then there were the objects. Things started disappearing. The salt shaker would turn up in the bathroom. Cans of food would be on top of the fridge where I never put them. Flies swarmed the trailer. No matter how many traps I set or how clean I kept the place, it was maddening. My dad laughed it off, saying I was probably just forgetting where I put things. But I knew better. By the time I moved out to live with my mom, I was relieved to leave the trailer behind. But my older brother wasn't so lucky. He and his wife had separated, and he moved in with my dad for a while. I visited them often, and one day my brother pulled me aside. "Have you noticed anything weird about this place?" he asked. I hesitated, not wanting to scare him, but eventually I told him about the knocking, the footsteps, the strange smells, and the cold. He listened, his face pale, and then he said, "Last night the phone kept ringing. I answered it, but no one was there. All I could hear was static and this whispering, a man and a woman arguing over and over again, and the woman kept saying the same thing, 'You don't even love me.'" He moved out the next week, refusing to tell my dad why. I thought that would be the end of it, but the strangest events were still to come. Not long after my brother moved out, my dad started sharing his own experiences, things he'd never mentioned while I was living there. It came up one night when we were all out for dinner, me, my dad, his girlfriend, my brother, and his wife. We'd been talking about the trailer, swapping stories about the odd little things we'd noticed. My dad laughed at first, calling us paranoid, but then he went quiet. There was one night, he said, his voice low, when I thought someone broke in. He explained that he'd been asleep in his room, lying on a mattress he'd placed directly on the floor. In the middle of the night, he woke up with the sensation that someone was choking him. At first, he thought it was a dream, but the pressure on his neck was so strong it forced him awake. When he tried to sit up, he felt something grab his arms and legs, pulling him in different directions. Terrified, he reached for the lamp on his bedside table. As soon as the light came on, the pressure vanished. But what he saw in the window chilled him to the bone. There was a man's reflection staring back at him, someone he didn't recognize. The figure wore a baseball cap, its brim casting a shadow over his face. My dad blinked and the reflection was gone. He told himself it was just a nightmare. But the next morning, his arms and legs ached as if he'd been in a fight. He never mentioned it to anyone, not even his girlfriend. Hearing him recount the story that night left us all uneasy. The final straw for my dad came a few months later when he decided to move in with his girlfriend permanently. Before leaving, he asked me to stop by the trailer to pick up a few things he thought I'd left behind. Specifically, he mentioned a set of figurines he'd found in the back bathroom. I didn't remember leaving any figurines, but I agreed to check. When I arrived, the trailer felt heavier, darker than I remembered. I made my way to the back bathroom, but before I could open the door, I heard a crash. I froze, my heart pounding. Slowly, I opened the door to find shattered glass all over the floor. The figurines smashed to pieces. But here's the thing. Those figurines weren't mine. I had never seen them before. As I cleaned up the mess, I noticed something else on the bathroom counter. A shoebox. Inside were old photographs, faded and yellowed with age. One of them caught my eye immediately. It was a picture of a man wearing a baseball cap. I felt my stomach drop as I recognized the hat. It was identical to the one my dad had described seeing in the window. We showed the photos to the landlord, hoping to learn more about the trailer's history, but he claimed he didn't know anything. He'd bought the trailer at an auction and had no records of the previous owners. To this day, we still have those photographs. No matter how many times we try to throw them away, they always seem to resurface. My dad says we should burn them. But something about that feels wrong. Like they're meant to stay with us, whether we want them to or not. I've since moved on with my life, but the memories of that trailer still haunt me. Sometimes, late at night, I think I hear knocking on my door, three distinct taps, and though I try to tell myself it's just in my head, I can't bring myself to look outside. There are more things I could tell you, more incidents that happened in that place. If you're interested, I'd be happy to share. But for now, I'll leave you with this. Some places aren't meant to be lived in. Sincerely, Lee. There's a strange and undeniable weight to stories like these, a pull that leaves us questioning what we think we know about the world around us. On the surface, the events described in this letter could be dismissed as a series of odd coincidences, faulty wiring, drafts in an old trailer, or the overactive imaginations of a family under stress. But when you start to connect the dots, the recurring voices, the untraceable phone calls, the shattered figurines, and the man in the baseball cap, it's hard not to feel the icy grip of something far beyond the ordinary. Could this be a case of psychological projection, where each family member's fears fed into the next, creating a shared illusion? Perhaps the trailer, with its isolation and history, became a crucible for unresolved trauma and emotional tension. The sulfurous smell, for instance, could hint at natural causes, maybe an unnoticed gas leak or decaying pipes. But those explanations only go so far. And then there's the paranormal angle, the one that gnaws at the edges of reason. The knocking, the static-filled whispers, the photograph of a man no one remembers. All of it suggests something that doesn't fit neatly into our understanding of reality. Is it possible that the trailer was imprinted with the anguish of a violent past? The mention of a murder-suicide connected to the property aligns with the kind of Residual hauntings we've heard of before, where strong emotions leave a scar on a place, replaying their pain over and over. But the photographs, they're the most unsettling part of this story. The idea that they can't be discarded, that they always resurface. What if those images are the key to understanding what happened in that trailer? Or, more chillingly, what if they're a tether, a way for whatever lingers there to stay connected to the family? In the end, we're left with more questions than answers, and maybe that's the point. Stories like these remind us that there are mysteries we may never solve, forces we may never understand. But they also remind us to look closer, to question the shadows, and to listen carefully, because sometimes the unknown is closer than we think. Until next time, stay curious, stay safe, and keep your doors locked.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.